தேஜஸ்வினாவதி தமஸ்து மாவித்விஷாவஹை. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி.
John chapter 5 verses 25 till the end.
லபந்தே ப்ரஹ்ம நிர்வாணம் ரிஷய க்ஷீண கல்மஷாஹ சின்னத்வைதாயதாத்மானஹ சர்வபூதஹிதேரதாஹ லபந்தே ப்ரஹ்ம நிர்வாணம் ரிஷய க்ஷீண கல்மஷாஹ சின்னத்வைதாயதாத்மானஹ சர்வபூதஹிதேரதாஹ காமக்ரோதவியுக்தானாம் யதீனாம் யதசேததாம் அவிதோ ப்ரஹ்ம நிர்வாணம் வர்த்ததே விதிதாத்மனாம் காமக்ரோதவியுக்தானாம் யதீனாம் யதசேததாம் அவிதோ ப்ரஹ்ம நிர்வாணம் வர்த்ததே விதிதாத்மனாம். ஸ்பர்ஷான் கிருத்வா பஹிர்பாஹ்யான் சக்ஷுஷ்சைவாந்தரே ப்ருவோஹ ப்ராணாபானௌ சமௌ கிருத்வா நாசாப்யந்தரசாரிணௌ ஸ்பர்ஷான் கிருத்வா பஹிர்பாஹ்யான் சக்ஷுஷ்சைவாந்தரே ப்ருவோஹ ப்ராணாபானௌ சமௌ கிருத்வா நாசாப்யந்தரசாரிணௌ யதேந்த்ரியமனோ புத்திஹி முனிர்மோக்ஷபராயணஹ விகதேச்சாபயக்ரோதஹ யத்ஸதா முக்த ஏவ ஸஹ யதேந்த்ரியமனோபுத்திஹ முனிர்மோக்ஷபராயணஹ விகதேச்சாபயக்ரோதஹ யத்ஸதா முக்த ஏவ ஸஹ போக்தாரம் யஜ்ஞ தபஸாம் சர்வலோக மகேஸ்வரம் சுஹ்ருதம் சர்வபூதானாம் ஞாத்வா மாம் சாந்தி ப்ருச்சதி போக்தாரம் யஜ்ஞ தபஸாம் சர்வலோக மகேஸ்வரம் சுஹ்ருதம் சர்வபூதானாம் ஞாத்வா மாம் சாந்தி ப்ருச்சதி.
The enjoyments born of sense contact, the world, worldly objects, there is dukkha yonayaha, they are wounds of sorrow. There is no joy that comes from the outside world. The trick that the mind plays with us, while we contact our senses with the sense objects, it appears to be as if we get some pleasure from the outside world. So this is a trick played by the mind. So Vedanta says, it is nothing but the happiness within getting reflected to the senses and the sense objects is what you come to experience. So it is not the real happiness that is coming from the external world. The moment you contact the world, for pleasure, you are deceiving yourself, says Vedanta. There can be no pleasure. That is why whenever with so much of expectations you contact the object, the moment you contacted the object, the pleasure diminished. First time when you contact the object, there is X amount of pleasure you experience. Second time when you contact, what has happened? Pleasure has reduced. Third time, fourth time, it goes on reducing. Nth time, there is no pleasure. But in your mind, it is as if I know for sure there is happiness. This time I have not got it, I'll get it next time. And maybe it is not in this object of the world, it is in some other object. So we go on continuously running. So he said, a yogi is one who is able to withstand this force, this vega, this force that is going from you to the world outside. So desire is, ichcha is nothing but thoughts from you going towards the world outside with the hope of finding that contentment. And that can only stop, that flow, that running, that movement can only stop when you understand that there is no pleasure that can come from the contact with the outside world. So what do you have to do? You have to be alert while you contact. While contacting, be alert. The more alert you are, the sooner you start realizing that actually there is no pleasure, there is only dukkha. See, the problem is we forget about it. The experience is not so vivid. We again start running after it. Last time when we ran after and we got the object, we again took it. But we forget about it. Again we continuously run. So you develop vairagya when you start doing viveka abhyasa while you are contacting. While you are contacting, when you do this questioning, being alert, you start scrutinizing, then you realize that there is no joy in the external world. Then the mind starts going within. That flow is called vairagya. That flow is called radha. The flow from you to the world is called dhara. The flow from you to the atma within is called radha. So he is saying such a person whose flow started going inside is yogi. An established yogi is one whose thought is become one with Brahman, who has become Atma, who has become Brahman.
He is yogi.
He is a yogi. Yogi means who is united with Atma.
And Radha is who?
Radha is the top flow going within, and ultimately he is a yogi. But ultimately a yogi is one who has established himself with Brahman. So once the thought starts flowing within, you start becoming a yogi. You start the process of uniting with the Brahman. Ultimately you unite with Brahman, you become the yogi. So yogi is one who starts flow within. Bogi is one who starts flow outward. See, lot of us, what we think is, one who is outwardly contacting the object is a bogi. See, just like how you can be seated, but your mind may be running towards the sense objects. Are you with me? Whereas the opposite is, you may be running, but your mind may be seated, rooted. This is what Krishna is telling Arjuna basically. Arjuna is trying to do what ordinarily we try to do, which is stop the action. Mind is so disturbed, and when the mind is disturbed, automatically everybody stops the action. And you stop the action, you sit quiet, but your mind starts running restlessly here and there. This is what Arjuna was doing or about to do. And Lord Krishna told him, don't do that, reverse the whole thing. Remember what we studied in the 3rd chapter, verse number 6. He said, verse number 6 in chapter 3, he said, he who sits quiet, controlling his organs of action, but mind ruminating or indulging in thoughts of the world, he is an hypocrite. You remember that? So then the next verse is that, on the contrary, you allow your body, your senses to contact the world, but your mind must be rooted in the Atma. This is what happens in bhajans. When you are doing kirtan, when you are in bhajan, your body is moving, your hands are clapping, your mouth is engaged in chanting the bhajan, singing the bhajan loudly, all that is happening, but your mind is becoming single pointed. This is how mind can help. For especially for a restless person, that is why one of the things that they say, if you are tremendously restless, they say chanting. Chanting helps. Bhajan helps. You understand? There are so many reasons for it. We can discuss that later on. But what I am trying to say is, Lord Krishna is saying the same thing here. You, when the thoughts go inside you, you start becoming a yogi. And when it establishes there itself, you become the ultimate yogi. You have become one with Atma. He is talking about that process.
Yes. You yourself become.
You realize yourself. Becoming Brahman means you realize that you are Brahman, you are not what you thought yourself to be. You realize that you are already liberated. You have always been liberated, you have never been bound, all that you realize. So he says, he who is such a yogi is happy within, resolved within, illuminated within, that yogi alone becoming Brahman is the bliss of Brahman. So he is talking about becoming happiness within. Like I very often say in the class, we want something or the other to be happy. We can never try to be alone. It kind of gives us fear. If I am going to be alone, my God, what will I do? My schedule should be full. My appointment schedule should be full. 9 o'clock I am doing this, 10 o'clock I am doing this. Supposing there is nothing to do, then you become very shaky. You are so much dependent. Are you such a boring personality that you can't be just with yourself? This is the question that you have to ask yourself. So these yogis have mastered the art of being self-sufficient. Who finds happiness within? And interestingly, only who's found happiness within can give happiness to anybody else. So in the next verse.
But in this I have a question.
Yeah.
Can I ask now?
Yeah, yeah.
It says that sins wash away.
Yeah, that is the next verse, 25th verse. 24th verse, he said, happiness within, who resolves within, who is illuminated within. He is not dependent on the external objects at the physical level, mind level, intellect level. Then in 25, he says, whose sins have been destroyed. Sins have been destroyed at the ultimate level, all the agitations have gone. The moment your mind stops from running outwardly, the moment the expectations stop, the moment mad chasing stop, your agitation reduces. And when you found the Atma within, the sins are completely washed away.
And whatever the karma done before that time?
Everything is washed away. See, karma, we studied this already. Karma is only for the karmi. Now you have through knowledge understood that you are not the actor. Action is done by the body, mind, intellect, not you, the Atma. Atma is not the doer. When you are not the doer, where is the question of path? So the, as per your actions of the past, body may go through certain repercussions. But as far as you are concerned, you are completely free from that sin.
The body, mind, intellect is going through the karma which one has to go through, prarabdha karma.
Yes.
But the Atma doesn't get affected, so
yes.
That's what
it means. Because you have become one with Atma, your affectation is not there with reference to that, whatever that physical body goes through.
The baggage of guilt shouldn't remain.
It won't be there.
But what about all the vasanas we have collected all over?
That's all been washed away. That's what he's saying. All the sins have been washed away. See, the impressions are cultivated, created, mainly because of your indiscriminate thought. Non-aware thought loop. You are collecting so much of impressions. The moment you, with awareness contact, you don't collect impressions. You move from that experience to next.
So, Let's say when one's mind is normal and some bad action happens towards me, towards any of us, because of our previous karma, travel. So then one reacts and is upset and all that. But when my mind is still and the same action happens, then that doesn't affect. So that karma is not affecting us.
Yes.
Because the mind is completely still.
Yes.
So is that the reason?
Yes.
So the karma which is happening to us.
Yes.
The bad karma which we have to complete or clear, that will keep happening.
Yes.
But not affect.
It will not affect it.
Mm-hmm. So chain of reaction stops.
If you have been, just take this example. You have been smoking all your life. Mm-hmm. Right. Because of that, lung problem, heart problems, so many things could have gone wrong. Such a thing is going to be there in the body. Just because you are a soul doesn't mean that things will clear up. You understand? So system will have this problem. But if you are realized, you don't get affected by it. This is at the physical level. Same thing is at the emotional and the intellectual level. You have been such a negative person. So you have done so much of nonsense to others, let us say. So as a result of which things are coming back to you. See, life, what goes around comes back, comes around. So you have done so much of nonsense. As a result of which things are coming back. Now, as a jnani, you realize that and you take it in. And you don't resist it any further. When you resist, you are sowing the seed for further karma. You understand this. What you resist will persist. And when you don't resist, it's getting deleted. The more we resist, it's getting repeated. Are you with me? So in the case of a person who is rich, he is receiving it, it's swallowed. It's one way. There is no more repeating. There is always only deleting. So his sins are being destroyed. Who is perfectly self-controlled.
So you take each experience as is and forget. That is what it means, right?
There is nothing to forget. You just keep moving.
Meaning you, it doesn't fit in.
Exactly. That's what I told you. Sin is
won't affect.
Exactly. See, guilt means doership is there. Without the doership, there can be no guilt. You understand? The moment doership is gone, there is a question of guilt. As long as you continue to feel guilty, you continue to feel that you are the doer.
No, so you kill somebody and then not in your life
senses.
So then obviously later you're going to feel guilty about it. I mean, you cannot just say, oh, I didn't do it, I'm not the doer. That's just what
see, you are misunderstanding the whole thing. I told you that story, I think, in one of the classes. A guy commits a murder. And he had read the scriptures. He had not become a jnani. He had not reached that ultimate state. But he is somebody who has read the scriptures. And he committed the mistake knowingly he had murdered somebody. And he is caught by the police and he is produced in the court. And in the court, when interrogation is going on, he said, I have not done anything. My body, mind, intellect committed the murder. And gunas are like that. My upbringing was like that, my gunas were like that, I had such gunas. As a result of which I have committed this murder. I have not done anything. Why are you punishing me? Or why are you thinking of even punishing me? You should let me go. Fortunately, the judge was also somebody who had read the scriptures and he was more of a jnani than just a person who had read the scriptures. So he said, obviously you have not committed the murder, you are not going to be imprisoned, but your body, mind, intellect committed the murder, your body, mind, intellect is going to be imprisoned. So, in that sense, so lot of us confuse ourselves without understanding these things clearly. I am not the doer from the point of view of the Atma. Atma is not the doer. But while I am considering myself as the limited ego, the ego is the one which is going to be having the guilt. So I have committed the sin. See, the thing is, out of fear, out of suppression, out of so many things, you may not commit a crime at the physical level. But at the mental level, I don't know how many people, every one of us are killing every day. I wish that floor drops dead. But you just don't go and commit a murder. But all these vrittis, all these impressions are already happening.
by feeling guilty, it's like you go on scratching the wound. By scratching the wound, you are going to make it worse. So the more you feel guilty, the more you will continue to be in the karmic cycle. You need to come out of the guilt, and for you to come out of the guilt through knowledge, you completely understand that you are not the doer. And then with that awareness, you start doing the action. Then you slowly, slowly come out of both. You cannot come out of one and not the other. You understand? You have to come out of both guilt and doership. The moment you understand that I am not the doer, you come out of the guilt as well. Now he says, the dualities are destroyed and the person is completely self-controlled. Who revel in the welfare of all beings. Now there are people whose job itself to take care of the welfare of others. They are not reveling in the welfare of others. They revel in the power that comes from the doing the welfare of others. Please understand what I am saying. One is, from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you go to bed, your job itself is taking care of others. But from taking care of others, you get some power. You revel in that power. He is not talking about that. He is saying one who revels in the welfare of others. So this is not welfare of others, is not a means for him to find happiness. Out of happiness, when a person is inside happy, see for example, you can only give what you have. If inside you have so much of hatred, you can only give hatred to others. If you are so frustrated inside, you will be very happy when you read in the newspaper that fellow is caught, this fellow is caught, he is behind bars, she is behind bars, because inside you are so frustrated. But if you are so much of happiness within, then what will you be? You will be wanting to see happy human faces. So like Oliver Goldsmith said, I am a lover of happy human faces. So this is something that happens naturally. He revels in the welfare of all beings. Whereas for us, moving from other things, we move to social service. That social service is not in which we revel. Social service is not happening out of contentment. Social service itself is to find contentment. So that is why I said, if supposing there is nobody to receive your service, what will happen?
You'll be unhappy.
You find out, you wanted to distribute blankets during winter to people, but everybody is having more than one or three. So nobody wants your blanket. You'll be angry at it. Because nobody has taken. I've not been able to give to anybody. If I've not given to anybody, I won't get a seat in the heaven. Because my understanding is, I must be doing so much of punya. If I do so much of punya, then the ticket for heaven will be given. But nobody has taken from me. So ticket for heaven I've not bought. So you are not reveling in the welfare of others. For you, welfare of others is a means. And that is not what Lord Krishna is talking here in verse 25. When a person becomes happy from within, who rejoices from within, out of happiness, actions flow out of him, which is always in the welfare of every being. He's not having a desire to go and help this person and that person. Remember, desire is a very, very tricky thing. You know, so, okay, if I do things for myself, it is selfish. Let me do for others. And there also, what you are doing is, from there, you want to very deeply if you notice, are you doing that action also without getting any kick from the appreciation? Would you continue to do those things if people stop giving you those appreciation? If you are not known at all, incognito, will you be able to do that? You somewhere deep down, ego is being created. So this is actually the ego tricking you. So when you have nothing expected from the world, the complete paripurna, out of fullness, happiness flows. In fact, only that person can give happiness to others. And in the presence of that person, you start feeling happy because he is completely having no demands. See, why is it that gopis were attracted to Krishna? Because he had no demands. Why is it that you are repelling people from you? Because you have demands.
Expectations.
You have some demands or the other. Your demand may be that you take something from me. Your demand may not be that you give something to me. Even if your demand happens to be, you take something from me, that is a demand. And Baba, I don't want. Do not take something. All I want to do is good things only to him, sir, for her, sir. But why this problem? Because it is a demand. Even when giving becomes a demand, you must take it from me. Because that taking from me gives me
pleasure.
So this is where the problem is. A lot of people say, sir, I am not a taker, I am a giver. But you are a compulsory giver.
Any addiction.
You understand? So you want to give. That wanting to give will make you exposed. You stand exposed. So that's what he is saying here. Who revels in the welfare of all beings? Verse number 26.
Who said, I am a lover of you, happy human self?
Oliver
Bodhi.
Verse 26.
Kama krodha viyuktanam, kama krodha viyuktanam, yatinam yata chetakam, yatinam yata chetakam, abito brahma nirvanam, abito brahma nirvanam, vartate viditatmanam, vartate viditatmanam, kama krodha viyuktanam, yatinam yata chetakam, abito brahma nirvanam, vartate viditatmanam.
For those who are freed from desire and anger, kama krodha viyuktana, one who is freed from desire and anger, who are self-controlled, yatina, who have subdued their mind completely, yata chetasa, who have realized the self, viditatmana, vartate brahma nirvanam, who have subdued the mind completely, who have realized the self, the bliss of Brahman resides in them, exists in them. That's what this verse is saying. So firstly, he has been emphasizing about removing or becoming free from desire and kama krodha viyuktanam. You have to rise above desire and anger, not suppress them into you. One set of people are indulging in desires, other set of people are suppressing the desire. He is talking about the third one, which is rising, going beyond desire and anger. This desire and anger, firstly, who can go beyond? Who can become free from desire and anger?
Control your mind. When someone says, you watch yourself as an observer, only then.
Control your mind. Who doesn't see it, who doesn't let it,
he'll
become a yogi.
Remember this. You can rise above any habit which has formed due to your unconscious repetition. Only the first step is acceptance that it is within me. If you say I can overcome smoking cigarette any day, you will never overcome. Firstly, I must understand that I have these desires. I have anger within me. Anger is not something that has come from outside every now and then to me. A situation is not making me angry. Situation is only
bringing
the anger from within outside. So it is an undercurrent that has been flowing constantly. This is something that we need to understand.
first step is, I must understand that this desire, anger, are something that is flowing within me. Like, the seed is there in the ground, inside the soil. When the rain comes, the seed germinates. Right? Till the rain came, it looked like there was nothing there. But the moment few raindrops fell on the soil, the seed germinated. Similarly, we think some people, some situations, some objects have brought the desire. It has only brought that desire which has been flowing within you outside. Right? Some people say the guy did that crime because he had alcohol. Alcohol made him do that crime. Does that sound logical? Yes or no?
No.
Why?
Because he had within him. Desire was within him.
The alcohol
freedom
suppressed his conscious mind. What in his subconscious mind has been always there, suppressed, found an excuse, got expressed. Are you with me? So the problem is not treating alcohol, or rather that is treating symptom. The solution is not treating alcoholism. The solution is treating what is inside the mind. Are you with me? If you treat alcoholism, that is only treating the symptom. So a lot of us go on arguing like this, a lot of people. It's pretty much normal. Only if you take alcohol, it becomes like this. In fact, his normal state of mind is coming forth when he's taken alcohol. This is very interesting. And you note, each one of us are like that. Are you? How are you? You know, all the time talking like that. But inside, the deep undercurrent. What is it? Only we know. For example,
there's something
you hypnotize somebody.
Huh?
You hypnotize somebody.
Yeah.
Then what is there in their subconscious mind can be brought
out. Yeah.
You understand? Exactly like that. Temporarily, the conscious mind is
suppressed. So I think
see, this is the problem.
Uninhibited. When they're uninhibited and they're honest, like you're not controlling your, suppressing your behavior.
So what we are actually, we fail to understand this.
People say this is under the effect of alcohol.
Exactly. So, that means there is some deep, suppressed things has come out. So the problem is, if you start justifying, see, this is the problem.
Use that
line
to justify.
All of us are rationalizing rather than being rational. You understand? Being rational is different, rationalizing is different. We rationalize our desire. We rationalize our anger. You must always ask this question. Do I find reason and do things? Or I did this because that was a reasonable thing to be done. Very often you will find, you always find some reason to do it. You have anger inside you, the undercurrent is flowing. And you found somebody doing wrong. Some desire of yours is obstructed. Then you reason out. When somebody behaves like this, what else do you expect? Therefore I shouted.
you rationalize it, you always try to justify it. You are not accepting that the anger has been there inside me. It just got a vent and I let it out. Then you try to rationalize, justify. And if you continue doing this, you can never ever rise above your desires and anger.
No, but what happens is, you know you're getting angry, you know it's a small thing which will happen, and you're way more angry than it is required. Okay, you can tell out, you know, politely, maybe you don't tell out politely that time, but you know you're getting more angry than required, but you can't resist yourself or you can't control yourself, then what is happening, then what happens?
What, how to go about dealing with your anger, we'll discuss
separately.
Now. But what you need to understand is, that is a better state when you accept that there is so much of anger in me and I am not in control of it, is a better state than saying that there is no anger in me.
Yeah.
This is a situation that demands me to react like this, therefore I am reacting like this. I am not
justified.
And you start justifying. Where you are not even accepting. That is, you understand what I am saying? It is better than doing that. Now, once you accept it, yes, there is desire in me, there is anger in me, then comes the next step, how to go about converting that. I have already told you this before also in the classes. Remember, in that spectrum called mind, one end is lust, the other end is love. One end is anger, the other end is compassion. Anger can be transformed into compassion.
No, so what is the second? First you accept, then second is what? You live it out fully.
He is talking about it. So when he talks about it, also along with it, I'll explain. Right. So first is, like he says, you must free yourself from the desires and anger. So we must understand that desire and anger, what is anger? Anger is nothing but desire obstructed. You have your thoughts running from you to the world outside to find happiness, to the outside world. Somebody or some situation, something obstructs your thought current. No, you can't get it. You're not going to get it. Then what happens? Your thought current, deflected thought current is anger. Anger is nothing but a reaction to that situation, the built up thing which is within you. So every now and then the anger comes. It means what? It's not that the complete anger has come out. Toda portion, bahar aagaya. Like in cooker, pressure release. You understand? Toda pressure release okay. But there is much more pressure building inside. So first step, when I accept that I have this problem inside me, then instead of trying to rectify the outside, I start working within. Are you with me? So therefore what they say is, find out the nature of the desire, nature of the anger, and then you try to direct them. For this, what has to be there? You have to be there. The person who can direct it has to be there. Now the question is, are you there in all your actions?
No, the mind is
there. Exactly. You are not the one who is doing the action. So what do you have to do? You have to develop Sankalpa Shakti.
Sankalpa Shakti.
You, let me make it very clear. Firstly, I must now accept that I am not controlling my senses. My senses are controlling me. I am nowhere to be seen. You can almost clearly say, if this situation comes, he will behave like this. If you have been there, then others cannot trace how you will function. Are you with me? If I come and do certain things which you don't like, you will behave like this. this is how you have been trained, conditioned. Like that Pavlovian theory. You understand? Every day he gave the food to the dog around 12 o'clock in the afternoon after he reached the bell. He'll ring the bell, give the food to the dog. One day he just rang the bell. The dog started salivating, though the food was not there. Similarly, if this situation comes, you behave like this. You can almost predict this is how he is going to behave. So you, where are you? You are not at all there. So if you really want to gain control over and become free from desire and anger, you have to first be there. You have to develop sankalpa shakti. So first I must accept that I am weak. The desires and anger are there inside me. Now I must start developing the sankalpa shakti. How to do that? He is talking about that in the next verse in little more detail through meditation, etc. He is talking about. So one of the things we have always said is, now when you start doing anything, now you can't stop doing things because the flow is so much that you have to give direction. So in our shastra, they gave a dharmic environment. You understand? To fulfill your desires. There you go about fulfilling your desires with awareness. Even if you out of frustration shouted, go through that with awareness. I'm not having control. So what happens over a period of time, since you went through the experience with awareness, the complete experience starts getting registered. Then you start understanding, oh, this is all. For this, I'm running like this madly. You understand? A state will come. Slowly.
It's a very tricky stage. It's a very tricky
exactly.
stage.
Exactly. That is why they say, firstly, accept. Then, with awareness, regulated dosage, you go through the experience. Are you with me? With the regulated dosage, when you go through the experiences, you slowly start rising above. And regulation supplemented with awareness. Because regulation by itself is not going to help you take out. Because a lot of people contact in a regulated way without awareness. Every Saturday I have a glass of alcohol or two glasses of alcohol. But that Saturday when I have alcohol, I am not aware. Then also you won't get rid of that, or then also you won't rise above that habit. Are you with me? So to rise above that habit, it is not contacting in a regulated dosage with awareness. And in the meantime, what are you doing? Developing that awareness. All the practices that will help you to develop awareness. Yoga, pranayama, meditation, all these are practices that will help you to develop awareness.
Otherwise you tend to fall back as habit.
Exactly.
And it's
exactly. So don't say no. The moment you say no, then your mind will crave for it. It will not even allow you to do this. You know that it is available around the corner. You understand? So you can always have it. When you are denied, your thoughts start getting focused towards it and start running after it. You are not denying the mind. First we accept, yes, I have this problem.
But you need a lot of strength and fortification at that stage.
Exactly.
That's very unsafe. That's the very unsafe zone where you
are already in it.
Yeah, you're, exactly. That's because you're not being safe. No, but you're addicted before. But earlier you played safe and don't accept it or whatever. Supposing if it's anger. You say, oh, I'm not getting angry. You know, but when you
accept... No, that's because you don't accept doesn't mean you are not addicted.
Yeah. You're already addicted.
Yeah. It's better than you accept. Mm. Even in Alcoholic Anonymous, first thing they talk about is acceptance.
Mm.
You understand? Not that I know of this because I was an alcoholic. Right? Because generally some question comes after this. How do you know this?
It's a very good prayer.
Best, first thing they talk about in Alcoholic Anonymous is acceptance. Right? And non-judgmental approach. One thing is, environment people in the environment having non-judgmental approach towards you, approaching you with love. Other is, you must approach yourself with non-judgmental and love.
Exactly.
Then if I accept it,
then I do not judge myself. Others tend to
make me guilty. Exactly. And once you start feeling guilty, you start
thinking
more.
It's like a cycle.
It's like a cycle. So first accept. Then a non-judgmental love approach. Accepting yourself, yes, I am addicted to this. That doesn't make me anything sinful. This habit is something that is to which I am addicted to, I am a prey to. Now I must overcome that. You understand? Like you may be addicted to social service. You understand?
Basically, these are all trigger points.
Exactly. Exactly. So then you, over a period of time, with regulation and contacting with awareness, and this allows you to practice the other things which will help you to develop awareness. And with that developed awareness, you get back in contact with awareness. Then that will increase, awareness will increase. Then there, you don't have to gain complete awareness to get rid of these habits. Depends on how deeply you are addicted to it. With 10% of awareness or 20% of awareness coming into your system, you will get rid of many habits. For example, you are plunged in darkness. Right? It is not as if you have to switch on all the lights to remove that darkness. Just a small matchstick. When you strike a matchstick, that light is enough. Like for example, in the morning, the sun has not fully come. Just little bit of the sun makes you more out. You can switch off the lights. Are you with me? Similarly, little bit of that awakening inside is enough to take care of all these emotions. But that little bit of awareness, awakening to happen, you must first bring in some condition. You must be there. Are you doing the action? If you notice this, many of our actions are done habitually. The mind is doing, I am not doing. There will come a point of no return. Till that point I was there. Then actually the person who did it is not me. I told you, no. Every alcoholic argues that I have only one glass of alcohol. And is he lying? He's not lying. Why he's not lying? He's saying that one glass I have, the rest of the glasses, that first glass has. That one glass has the other glass. So similarly, in many things, up to a point, I am there. After that, Prakriti has taken over. You find out, in everything it's like this.
Even in the anger,
exactly. Up to a point you are aware. After that, control. You are gone. Then you are not there. So when you can keep on establishing yourself, for that you need to develop self-control. So next word immediately is self-controlled. Self-controlled means what? What is the difference? The moment the thought is there, you control it. The difference between us and somebody who has committed the crime, if at all, is what? They have acted on it, you have not acted on it. Though the flip side is that you did not act on it because of fear of law, whatever, not because of necessarily
self-control. People are going to take it. I mean, there is certain things that you can be aware of, like your habit, if you don't know, alcohol, smoking, anger. But then there are so many things which we depend on, I'm just giving an example, outside world, and you know, if we are going to be like this, other people will take us for granted or take advantage of us and all that. So there, how do you control your awareness? I mean, what is the thought you should have?
See, the more you start awakening your awareness from within, you will start realizing whether it is rationalizing or not. Very often than not, what you said just now is rationalizing. If I continue to be like this, people will start taking me for granted. Therefore, I am not controlling myself. I am letting my anger out. If I start behaving nicely, then people will start taking advantage of me. Therefore, I am showing that I am a tough person. Are you really doing this? Are you justifying? If you actually analyze, you will find out very often you are only justifying. You actually do not have control.
But you have to sometimes, you know.
The point is, we are not saying Tathagata Vedanta doesn't say rule is do with
this. Yeah.
Tathagata Vedanta is not do's and don'ts. Vedanta is not do's and don'ts. From the start to finish, you should have done it. Is that the case? The weakest person doesn't even last more than a second.
There's a
little stronger person lasts for few seconds. Really strong fellow lasts for 2 minutes. Really strongest fellow lasts forever. From start to finish, he is doing it. In many of our cases, you started something, then the desire takes over, then the anger takes over. You find out. There comes a point where you have no point of any return. The point of no return you reached. Once you reach the point of no return, you don't get back. You do it. That is why they say, you better be careful, don't be part of the budget session. Because what happens is, you go on putting so much of negativity inside you, so much of anger and all these things are building. And there will come a time, supposing the point of no return you got in, you will do it. Why do they say all these things? Certain magazines you don't read, certain programs you don't watch. For what? Because once the vritti starts getting uploaded into your system, you understand? And when you reach that point of no return, you return it.
What is the work situation
That is what we will do.
That you show your anger but don't feel it.
Exactly. But for that first, that's what I'm saying. That is the next step. That is what sages like Vishwamitra, Gurus and all say. But for that, you need to first establish yourself. Today, you are lost in the way. Extricate yourself first. Then let us talk about using.
That anger will not even finish. Like it will be, if you are actually honest to yourself, that anger will come because of the situation, go with the situation. It will not stay in you. As
you will be directing that energy with direction. You will be sending it. You will be directing it. Because you are there. This energy is there inside you. You are now redirecting it. The other day, I read on the internet, one fellow has been constantly bullied. He was only 15 years old. He used his anger to produce a movie on bullying. You understand? Creativity can be beautifully brought out in some creation. Are you with me? I am not saying you can't do it. You can do all that. But that's at the later stage. First step, firstly, we are somebody who have been washed away. We are in that kind of a situation. At that time, don't rationalize. Like, I'm using my temper, not losing my temper.
Using, not losing.
Were you really using? Or was the temper using you? 99 out of 100 cases, or 100 out of 100 cases mostly is, temper using you. That's all. But you rationalize it. You continue rationalizing, you never rise above it. The moment you accept, I have not used it, it has used me. So lot of us, we think we are directing our desires. We are not directing our desires. We have suppressed the desires, and the suppressed desire is let out in some areas where the society allows. Are you with me? Think about it carefully. Energy is suppressed and it won't allow you to rest in peace. But you are not able to express it because of the conditioning, societal pressure, etc. So what, whichever area the society says, come to, Vaha you take it up. Which is nothing but what? Your desires running madly. Understand? And you think, wonderful, yeah. He is successful because he is directing his energy. No. He has not still established himself directing it. Once you are established, then you direct. It can be in anger, it can be in anything. That is why in extreme cases you will find in the Shastra, Muni directing his anger. You understand? Exactly. But for that, firstly, you should become the master. Only a master can redirect it. You can play with it because you are a master of it. Now you are being played by it. When you are being played by it, don't justify. Firstly, to realize and understand and accept itself, you require strength. That is why when a person accepts his mistakes, many people will say, will appreciate it. Because you need guts for it. Will you have the guts to accept that mistake? Do you have that guts? Don't you?
I mean, there's no guilt.
Absolutely no guilt.
That's why you accept.
Exactly.
You know,
at the moment you accept it, you started the process of becoming free from it. A king had gone into one of his worst prisons, dreaded prisons, one day. And so many prisoners, they were, because the king himself has come, if they appeal to him, they can probably get the pardon, you know. So they all were at his feet and said, sir, I did not make any mistake, I don't know, somehow I've been wrong, therefore I ended up in jail, I did not do it, somebody else did it, he got away because he could pay, I could not pay, etc., you know, all sorts of things everybody was saying. Except for one fellow who did not talk, he was keeping quiet. The king went and said, everybody is saying something other, why are you keeping quiet? I am keeping quiet because I have done the crime. I have done this crime. Now I feel for it, but I did that. That's why I am being punished. The king said, let this fellow out. Let him also not get caught with these guys and get conditioned the same way. See, many places Bhagavad Gita says, outside world is not for you, forget about the inside world. If you do not have guts, even the outside world is not for you. In economical terms, if you have to put that in, it's a risk versus reward. You understand? You have to have the capacity to take the risk, then you get the reward. You do not have the courage, then what do? 9-to-5 job. Because you do not want to take risk. So utna hi reward milegi. So even in the world outside, agar aapko success chahiye, courage chahiye. Are you with me? To conquer the self, you require tremendous courage. Spirituality is not for weak people. Remember this. First establish your sankalpa. In your actions, you do it. You start taking the responsibility for the mistakes. And once you are courageous, that person can turn spiritual. Ratnakar was a courageous bandit. Therefore he became Valmiki. You understand? It is better to be a courageous bandit than a weak social worker. Spirituality has got nothing to do with morality. When you are spiritual, you will be moral. But when you are moral, it is not necessary that you are spiritual. When you are spiritual, you will be patriotic. But just because you are patriotic doesn't mean you are spiritual. we always start at ultra level. We become moralistic. Morality is not going to lead us to spirituality by itself. Now, I am not saying be a bad guy. I am saying both the emphasis is courage. That is why in the Vedanta very clearly they say, even the outside world will not be yours. How can be the inside world? You are not ready. You are not gutsy. You are not even there. You are so weak. You are so poor. You are going on rationalizing, rationalizing, rationalizing. You need to have the guts. Yes, I have this weakness. Yes, I have this problem. I am not saying you send bulk emails to everybody that I have this problem. But when a situation arises, you should be having no problem. That straightforwardness. That is what Lord Krishna said to Arjuna. Arjuna, you have that. Therefore, I chose you to give spirituality. Otherwise, Yudhishthira would have been the best person. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yudhishthira would have been the best person to give Bhagavad Gita. But how did Lord choose Arjuna to give the Bhagavad Gita? Did you ever think about it? Anaga, he calls him Anaga. Anaga means sinless.
Anaga means?
Sinless. He accepts boldly. Arjuna. I'm having, you know, my head is swelling. You will not say that. You will say something else. You will give some other reason. You will try to rationalize. Arjuna is not rationalizing. Arjuna is a straightforward guy. See, very, very interesting. Draupadi was a straightforward lady. Are you with me? Can you do things straightforward? Then spirituality is for you. That is why one of the most important qualities emphasized in spirituality is straightforwardness. Uprightness. Not teda meda. Understand? Arjuna is a straightforward. This way or that way? If he shakes his head, he will shake like this. No. Yes. Not like this. For everything, you don't know whether he is saying yes or no. Many people are like that. So, that is why Arjuna became the disciple for the Gita. Because then he has the potential. Please understand this. This going on justifying whole society requires it. Therefore I am being chalu. You understand? You will continue covering your weakness. You will become so smart in bringing new reasons. You become so innovative in bringing reasons to cover up your numbers. Who are you cheating? The worst form of deception is self-deception. You can't deceive yourself. You can deceive everybody. So don't come up with reasons to justify your weaknesses. The moment you are able to be upright, yes, I have this problem. That means you are not completely dead. You are still little bit alive. So you can be brought to total life. If a person is no reaction, you crack some jokes, straight face. Give an emotional story, straight face. Quotations, straight face. Nothing can be done with the fellow. Because he is a rock, he is like a rock. You understand? But here there is some person left because he is accepting, yes. I am caught. So he is still there. Since he is still there, he can be woken up. You can never wake up a person pretending to be sleeping. You tried. A person who is genuinely sleeping will wake up. A person who is pretending to be sleepy, impossible to wake up.
So to answer your question, how to overcome the desire? First accept. Then don't deny it fully. Give it a regulation consciously and with awareness, contact when you have to contact. And rest of the time, consciously engage yourself in developing all the practices that will help you to develop that awareness. Then with that awareness you continue contacting. Over a period of time you will find with a little bit of awareness increasing in you, all these habits will come under your control. Then you start using them, not getting used by them. You will not be abused by them, you will be using them. Such a person is completely self-controlled. Where he says go, his mind goes. Where he says go, his senses go. So once you become free from your desire and anger, then you can direct. To be able to direct, you should become free from the clutches of it.
Isn't your intuition also that, develop through awareness?
Yes, through meditative practices and all, you develop intuition.
Yeah. And the intuition is what is your...
No, these are all something that happens simultaneously.
No, so it is part of your subconscious mind, right? What is intuition?
See, intuition is when you are in tune with the total, you become privy to certain things. That is intuition.
Yeah.
Understand? But when you are attuned with the total, when you are attuned to just yourself, you are not privy to many things. Are you with me? So the more and more you attune yourself to the self, intuition happens naturally. So intuition is in being in tune with the self, with the Atma. The more and more you get attuned to the Atma, you are privy to certain things. Others who are attuned only to their ego, you understand? They are not privy to such things, that's about it. So that is something that happens naturally as you start increasing your awareness, as you start getting tuned into the Atma channel, so to say.
So the more the awareness increases, the intuition also develops. It's side by side.
Yeah.
It's like Siddhi.
Exactly. So, who have subdued their mind completely, though the word English translation word used here is subdued the mind completely, is talking about yata chetasa. Subdued means that listens. Your mind listens to you. Nothing from outside goes into your system without you allowing it. Your mind doesn't go from within to the world outside without you allowing it. Before you realize you are there, that means you have no control over your mind. You have no self-control, means no sense control. You have no mind control. Here he is talking about sense control and mind control. Who have realized the self, who has become one with the Atma within. The bliss of Brahman resides in them. In other words, previous words he said, he attains Brahman. Now he says the Brahman resides in them. The bliss of Brahman resides. It is not as if you will attain bliss. You will, once you reach that place, you find out that it is already residing there. Foolishly I have been searching for it. It is like you sometimes keep your spectacle on the top of your head and you are searching for it. You understand? It is like that. Then you realize it is here only. It's exactly like that. So that is what this line is indicating. The bliss of Brahman resides in them. For us also it is residing. But as long as I have not come to know that it is within me, as far as I am concerned, it is not residing in me. Only who comes to know that it is residing within, for him it is residing. Everybody, the bliss of Brahman is residing within. But why does he say for him the bliss of Brahman resides in him? Resides in him because he now knows, he has turned his attention that side. See, all practical purposes, what are the objects behind you are not there for you.
even though they are dead. But it is very close to you, yet it is very far from you. That is what the Upanishad says. Near, it is far. Immediately they say far. Tadduve far, tadantike, inside. Tadantarasya, sarvasya, it's within you, it's without.
And then make up your mind, is it far or near? What they are saying is, you turn your face the other side. You turn your face this side, it's always been there, it's near. It's the closest, and yet it is very far for you. Why? Because your mind is turned elsewhere. So entire spirituality is what? Turning your head inward. That's all. You have been looking outside. The extroversion needs to become introversion. That is all. And once the flow starts going inside, you find the self ere long, before long. Then you realize this bliss that I have been running around, that I have been searching for madly, all this while has always been residing within.
I have not found the happiness. To find something, you have to lose it. Right? If you have never lost it, where is the question of finding it?
You lost it because you were not aware. Now that you are aware, you feel you found.
So therefore you use the word resides in them. Now, thereafter, it will not be lost. It will always be there. In us, it is lost as it were. In them, it always resides. It is not lost. See, in other words, this is what Vedanta says. Nobody is a sinful person, sinner. Because everybody is privy to this infinite potential. Many tap it, many don't tap it. Few times. You are also, see, there can be no other knowledge which can increase your self-esteem to this height. Because this knowledge says everybody is equal. The inequality that you see outside is to the extent one has tapped it or not tapped it. That's all. But as a potential, everybody has that infinite potential. From the potential point of view, everybody is same. But from the tap level point of view, each one is different. That's about it. So that meditation practice he talks about in the next two verses, which we will see next week.
ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमाधाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति 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 कायेन वाचा कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृतेष्वभावा करोमि अद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि
नारायणायेति समर्पयामि हरि ओम्।